As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. It is a Saturday night late here on the East Coast, not yet Sunday morning, are you? We are doing this early because it feels like all the important stuff has happened. We got not a shocking result because the favored team won, but we got a result that will shake up the college football playoff rankings. Utah 38, Oregon 7. That was a butt whooping in Salt Lake City.
Well, first, before we jump into new playoff discussion, I think that I wanted to say that the committee might have a unsolvable problem, which is the unsolvable problem might be, how do you keep the group of five out? And if you actually want to know what the unsolvable problem was from that reporter that we were talking about the other day,
this is the one who asked the very awkward question of Steve Sarkisian at Texas. Yes, what was his unsolvable problem? Because we had several guesses, moving a dead body, you owe too much money to a bookie, solving world hunger, peace in the Middle East, and fixing Texas football.
Yes, so the reporter said, in a former life, I used to be in IT and I used to write software. I work with a gentleman and I almost put his name in there. I'm so glad I didn't, but he's like the smartest guy I know. And we were working on a technical problem for 2 weeks we could not solve. And he finally said, in his wisdom, we must take a step back and ask, what would an extraordinary person do?
Did it solve the problem?
It's another cliffhanger, bud. I don't know. I just like thought that our problems were more entertaining.
That is as boring as I imagined that to be.
Because it's also it's not just boring, Andy. It's also, you know, bogged down with technical IT stuff that most people wouldn't understand. So he couldn't even explain it if he wanted to. Boring IT.
Somebody sent me the link to that Texas Monthly story where they caught up with him and asked him for the backstory and the question. And I purposely didn't click the link because I knew the reason and the unsolvable problem was going to be so boring that I would stop caring. And that's exactly what happened.
I had to know.
And now everyone knows, and we can get back to the issue at hand, because now you say the playoff committee has an unsolvable problem. I don't think it's a problem for them. I don't think the members of the committee care one way or the other whether they let a group of five team in or not. And I think they're going to bump Cincinnati up to number four because Cincinnati beat the snot out of SMU, an eight-win SMU team. And I think they're going to be just fine with that.
Yeah, and it's like actually in a world where, and I didn't know that we would get to this point, but you know, before the season, we talked about all the things that needed to happen for Cincinnati in order to get in, and all those things happened. But more happened, because enough happened where Cincinnati is unquestionably the fourth best candidate as we stand here right now, with two of the candidates ranked above them currently still having to play. So there is definitely a scenario where, if you believe that Georgia will beat Alabama when they play, which I do, and I think you do, that
I think Vegas Cincinnati will too.
Cincinnati will be the third team in, and you could see a potential matchup with Ohio State and Cincinnati in the semifinal, which would be an interesting discussion. But like, I don't think we're going to be sweating whether or not a group of five team is going to get into the playoff this year. I think we're going to be figuring out who the four team is if Georgia wins that SEC championship.
Well, here's the thing. We're assuming chalk. We're assuming Cincinnati is going to win out. and beat Houston in the American Championship game. They're at East Carolina next week. I don't think they're going to have a problem with that game, but I do think Houston could give them some problems. So I don't think it's a given that they win out, but I do think if they're undefeated, they're going to make the playoff.
Yeah. You know, and I thought that it would have been really, really hard for them to do it as recently as 2 weeks ago, but Oregon got dismantled. I mean, they got their doors blown off. So, I mean, there's no better beneficiary than Cincinnati for that.
The way Utah crushed Oregon leaves no doubt. Utah physically dominated Oregon. And the thing that was keeping Oregon up was the win against Ohio State, which, look, Oregon looked amazing in Columbus on September 11th. But they just got dominated by Utah. And whether they beat Utah in the Pac-12 championship game or not doesn't really matter at this point. They're done. The Pac-12 is done. The Pac-12 will be out of the playoff again. They have not made the playoffs since the 2016 season when Washington made it. So, you know, if you're the Pac-12, you need to fast-track playoff expansion, which you should have been trying to do already. And I know George Kliavkov, when he got in, said it's a priority. And then the Alliance decided to hold things up. And now, lo and behold, Ari, the members of the Alliance are like, oh, crap, we do need to expand this thing to 12 pretty quick.
Yeah. So now I think the most interesting discussion is, if Alabama beats Georgia, that's when things get most interesting. You know, for the sake of the playoff discussion, let's just say that Alabama beats Georgia in a close game. I think we can safely assume that those two will be in. And I think we also can safely assume that whoever wins the Ohio State-Michigan game will be in too.
Or, right, unless they lose to Wisconsin, which I don't think is going to happen.
You know, that's if that happens, then chaos and whatever. But I'm trying to be reasonable. So if Cincinnati at the end of the year is undefeated and the AAC champ, and Oklahoma State or Oklahoma is a one-loss Big 12 champion and they're being compared head-to-head, I know the committee does not love Oklahoma. I wonder what the committee will do with Oklahoma State this week. As we're recording this, they are beating Texas Tech 23-0, and I think that Texas Tech might have one first down in the entire game. So the defense has been playing really, really well.
Well, they did just make a first down, but I think they almost just threw an interception.
I was just being dramatic. Yes, I was just being dramatic.
Yeah, Oklahoma State's defense is awesome. And Ari, you and I talked. We had a live room on the Athletic app where we talked to a lot of our subscribers. And we did get a question about that Big 12 title game. And remember, it could be Oklahoma State Baylor. It could be Oklahoma State Oklahoma. It just depends on the results next week. It also could be Oklahoma Baylor, depending on the results next week. So we'll find out. But let's say if it's Oklahoma State, which the committee definitely seems to like them better than they like Oklahoma. Oklahoma State Oklahoma round two or Oklahoma State Baylor, I don't think it matters to the committee. I think a win against either one of those two in the Big 12 championship game is going to look just as good one way or the other.
I think they're the same. I think they're the same.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, looking at Oklahoma will always be a sexier version of what other teams will be viewed as in that conference, just because of what they've accomplished, the reputation of Lincoln Riley and the offensive firepower that it supposedly has. But it's going to be a very interesting discussion if the Big 12 champion, regardless of who it is a one-loss champ. And I just honestly don't know if Cincinnati is undefeated who they would put in, Andy. I just don't. And I'm not going to pretend to know.
No. And 11-1 Notre Dame, I know I got on a radio show, and I'm feeling very bad about this, a radio show on VSiN, the Vegas Sports Information Network. I would say it was about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and they asked, what are the chances of an 11-1 Notre Dame make the playoff? I said 0%. But now, if some weirdness happens in the Big 12, Notre Dame keeps winning, Georgia beats Alabama, Cincinnati's undefeated. I mean,
who else do you got there? Who else do you have there?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know who else, is there another candidate there that you would even, like, assuming all the things that you said happened, like we're running.
It would be Georgia, the Big Ten champ, Cincinnati, and Notre Dame.
I think, okay, so who would go Notre Dame with one loss or Bama with two? I think that might be the scenario where Bama gets in with two losses.
Wow. That is the ultimate just troll job, though. The troll question of the year. one loss Notre Dame or two loss Alabama, both teams that everybody who doesn't love those teams loves to hate. And thinks gets and everybody thinks they get preferential treatment.
Because you know what the committee's going to do in that. Like if you're, I don't think your scenario is going to happen. But if it were to happen,
I don't think so either.
If it were to happen, the committee would pick Alabama, I think, because they would just know Alabama's a better football team.
They'd say who would win the game if they played. That's what they'd say.
And I think everybody would agree that that would be Bama.
And it's year. And it's funny because you'd have people like, I can't believe they put Alabama in, but I'm glad they put them in over Notre Dame.
Yeah, and then at the end of the road,
people would go nuts either way.
It's so funny because everybody was freaking out about the quote from the Tuesday show where Gary Barta said, set aside watching games. But can I ask you a question with a straight face? If we actually set aside watching games, would we not have the same top three?
If we didn't actually watch any of the games.
Use like stats and reputation and recruiting classes and all the things that people resent being used in the discussion, and you took away watching the physical games or who won the games, and you just basically tried to figure out which teams you think are the best based on what you know about them, you would arrive at the same top three that we arrived at by playing the games.
Probably. You're probably right. And let's,
Georgia,
let's,
Alabama, and Ohio State. It's not even a discussion.
Yeah. And let's ask this question, Ari, because I'm curious how you look at this. Given what we saw from Ohio State, where Ohio State beat Michigan State essentially the same way Georgia beat Charleston Southern. And I realize Georgia could have scored 100 on Charleston Southern if they wanted
to. It was like
they
were competing touchdown for touchdown today.
Right. Right, but except Ohio State was playing a one-loss team that is ranked in the top 10.
Yeah.
And that was as impressive a win as we've seen this season. Do you think Ohio State will be number 2 on Tuesday night? I know it doesn't matter. I know it'll all play itself out. And number 2 and number 3, the only difference is jersey color in the playoff.
Yeah.
But do you think Ohio State jumps to number 2 off this win?
And can I like just take a victory, I don't know, lap, just how about a victory circle? When we did discuss the on Friday which games might get kind of weird and which will be like the oh no moment, I pegged Arkansas Alabama in that game, and there was Arkansas had the ball in that game down 6 in the fourth quarter. So like they were there. I don't know if you would consider me being right, but I think I was closer than all the other oh no moments that we kind of outlined.
Well, if you bet on Arkansas and took the points, you won.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Arkansas was what, a 20.5 point underdog in that game?
Yeah.
Ended up losing by 7 or was it or 8 or, but yeah, I mean, that's.
Can I say something? And I'm going to be controversial. And like, I don't know
by
if this
all
is going
to
annoy
please
you.
Please be controversial. Give us some controversy to chew on, Ari.
If I'm annoying you, then just tell me. But, never. Like, is Michigan State good? Like, can we just drop the crap now?
Okay. See, I think you're mixing up your adjectives. Yes, Michigan State is good. Is Michigan State great? No.
I know, but we had to pretend that they were maybe great for the past 2 months, and I think everybody knew that they weren't great.
Well, they did beat Michigan, which looked nice. Are we going to talk ourselves into Michigan having a chance against Ohio State?
Maybe, I guess. I mean, that's what podcasts are for, right?
Are you going to talk yourself? That's what I want. I don't know. I don't think my opinion matters on this. I want to know, are you going to talk yourself this week into Michigan having a chance against Ohio State?
I think Michigan's defensive line is really good. It's a rivalry game. It's on the road, and Jim Harbaugh's desperate. So, like, I guess I could say yes, but, like, I think Ohio State is every bit as better as Michigan as they are to Michigan State. Like I've been saying all year that Penn State, Michigan State, and Michigan are indistinguishable, and I don't know that that's not true. And like I know that like my job and our job is to put out a podcast where we discuss college football, playoff recruiting or playoff. Sorry about recruiting; it's programmed in my brain. Playoff discussion discourse. But I tweeted this and then I deleted it. But I want to say it to you. I think all college football playoff discourse is, in October and early November, is pretending average teams that everybody knows is average or are average are great until they ultimately lose in the same 3 or 4 teams that everybody knows is built to win it all get in.
Okay. And in a few years, we're going to be talking about those teams as teams that are going to make the playoff. And they aren't going to win the national title, but they may be able to win a game in the playoff, and that'll be fun.
But at any point in time in the last month, and like I know the thing that fans hate hearing the most is, who do you feel is the best, or who do you think is the best, or what do you feel in your heart is the best? But at any point in the last month, did you believe that Michigan State was one of the four best teams in college football? Did it ever occur to you that that was the case? And
no.
And that's – so like today, as Ohio State's hanging 50 points on them in a half, it's like they're going to get a bunch of credit – all the credit in the world for beating a team that's ranked in the top 10 by 50 and a half and then putting their backups in. But it's just like, did we really learn anything today? Like, honestly, did we really learn anything? Maybe that Ohio State's playing better than they had been playing, but it's revelatory that Ohio State's better.
We learned that Ohio State has improved as the year has gone on. I feel more confident that if Ohio State were to wind up playing Georgia in the playoff, that they could score on them. And but I don't think there's a lot of teams that could.
If I would have asked you after the Nebraska game when Ohio State struggled with Nebraska, gun to head, if you had to pick one team in college football or two teams in college football that would have the most likelihood of beating Georgia, you would have said Ohio State and Bama, even after they were struggling. Like, I just find this to be – I find this to be not revelatory at all. I find it to be obvious and kind of just confirmation of what everybody already knew.
You understand that the teams that put together the best recruiting classes year after year after year have a – nearly insurmountable advantage on the other teams.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe that most college football fans want to believe in their hearts that if the guys are gritty enough and they play hard enough, then they have a chance. But the fact of the matter is they usually don't.
And when they do have a chance, it's in a game that lacks meaning where the other team is sleepwalking. Like, Ohio State went into this game viewing it as a play-in game to the playoff. That's not the time when a Michigan State would beat an Ohio State. And I know, granted, right. It has happened.
And
15,
notice,
it happened.
We're not talking about this with Oregon, because Oregon is bringing in those kind of players. So when they beat Ohio State, okay.
Yeah, and Oregon is still a step below Ohio State, despite from a talent standpoint, despite winning, but they're also a step ahead of Michigan and Michigan State. So, like, it was less surprising, and Ohio State was a dumpster fire. And anybody who watched that game in the beginning of the year knew that it wasn't Oregon being great, it was Ohio State being a disaster. And then once they fixed everything up with their defense and switched up some personnel and changed their defensive scheme and started playing like they're playing now, like if they played Oregon tomorrow, they'd win by 50, and everybody knows that. And it sounds like I'm just being like a simplistic recruiting asshole, and maybe I am, but it's just like, it is what it is, and like, at a certain point...
Can we get that stitched into a pillow for you, or get a t-shirt or a hat made?
Stars matter, asshole?
Yeah. Stars matter, comma. Yeah.
And it's just like, maybe I'm just disappointed, because like, you do, like, as media members, and as people who have a podcast that is designed to entertain people... Well, you want to have the most entertaining new outcomes, because it gives us something new to talk about. It's something exciting to look forward to.
We're infotaining people, Ari. It's our job to inform them and entertain them. And I feel like we entertain them when we try to come up with unsolvable problems that are more interesting than that guy's actual unsolvable problem.
I mean, you're a podcasting juggernaut.
We are what I like to... Well, our listeners are what I like to call listening juggernauts. So... a team of listening juggernauts, to be exact. But our job is to also make them better informed college football fans. And if we tell them kind of what's going to happen, I think that's part of our job too, because we need to be realistic about what's going to happen. What's going to happen now is, when we come back, we're going to talk not about the teams that might make the playoff, but about some teams that are definitely not going to make the playoff. One is definitely not playing in a bowl game, and one might not be playing in a bowl game. And what the hell do you do now? We'll be right back after these words.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Ari, we talked about the teams that might make the playoff. We got to talk about the ones that are not going to make the playoff and maybe not even make a bowl. Let's start in Columbia, Missouri, not with the Missouri Tigers, who are going to a bowl game, but with the team that they vanquished on Saturday, the Florida Gators. 24-23, Eli Drinkwitz goes for two in the first overtime. Connor Bazelak, falling down, completes a pass to win the game. And Ari, is that it for Dan Mullen at Florida? They're playing for bowl eligibility against an improving Florida State team next week, but I don't know if that even matters at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, does beating Florida State help you feel a little bit better going into the offseason if you're a Florida fan?
I don't know.
Especially because Florida State's improved.
Yes, Florida State's gotten better as the season's gone on. And there's weirdness going on with Florida. I asked Dan Mullen after the game, did he ever consider going to Anthony Richardson at quarterback, because they had only scored one touchdown in regulation against a team that gave up 36 points a game. He said he hadn't, because Richardson had been hurt during the week's practice. It's not something anybody had talked about, by the way, that he'd been hurt. So we'll see what the story is on that. But Anthony Richardson then changes his Twitter profile. For a moment, he takes off University of Florida quarterback, changes the banner, changes the header, changes the photo, and it looked like he kind of stripped it. He throws up a Bible verse. I don't know. It feels like this is it for Dan Mullen, and you know, I think the way he handled the quarterback situation is part of it too, because I think anybody with eyes who saw the team play this year was like, why is Anthony Richardson not playing more? And the only time he started him is against Georgia, where Georgia has made every quarterback it's played look bad. So you can't really go on that.
A month ago, some reporter asked Richardson after the game if basically said, are you going to leave Florida if things don't go the right way? And at that point, it was kind of a funny question, because we just assumed that Richardson was going to get his run. Because, I mean, you were really high on him. Maybe you still are high on him about, like, his ability or potential. And it's like, after the season was kind of lost a little bit, you know, you think that'd be the time to let him run a little bit. Let him develop and kind of, you know, hang your hat on a future. And, you know, ever since that point where they went back to Emory Jones when things weren't working, it kind of just felt like this was an inevitability. So, I mean, losing the quarterback with potential on your roster is one thing, but the coach, you know, we went from things are going to get weird if they lose the LSU game to completely going off the rails. So if things were going to get weird after the LSU loss, I mean, what are we talking about now? I mean, they lost to Mizzou. They gave up over 50 points to Samford. I mean,
They lost
to South Carolina by 500. Like, I don't know. Yeah. You know, it's just like you have to put yourself in a position where it's just like, are you able to say this is a lost season, everybody gets one, or does each passing week make it worse? It's like it's either one thing that's constant.
The weirdness of it makes it worse. And the other issue is you've got a recruiting problem. That is clear. You've got a roster problem that is clear. And I don't know what you do to fix that right now, because they're not going to suddenly start flipping a bunch of highly ranked recruits in the class of 2022. They're not going to have a very good class if Dan Mullen's still the head coach. And probably if they make a change, they probably won't have a very good class.
There's not enough time to change course now. So are they going to rely on the
transfer portal?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are they going to rely on the transfer portal completely? Maybe. I mean, that's the thing. And the other question is, if you do move on from Dan Mullen, where do you go? Because it's not an obvious thing. You've got USC open, you've got LSU open. I would argue that both those jobs have an easier path to what you want. And then all three of those places want the same things. They want to make the playoff. They want to compete for national titles, that sort of thing. But at USC and LSU feel like the path is easier there. Even though LSU is in the West, you look at it, the last three coaches there have won national titles. You know, Florida, the last three coaches, if Dan Mullen doesn't wind up being the coach in 2022, the last three coaches will have gotten fired with no national titles.
Florida's a much harder job than LSU.
I would agree. I would agree with that.
Does anybody not agree with that?
I think Florida fans, you'll hear a lot. If the job opens, you will hear people say, and you may even hear, you know, the athletic director, Scott Strickland, say it. This is Florida. That's what you're going to hear. As in that means something, like it's a place that people would just crawl to. That's not true. Now, they do pay the current coach $7.5 million. So somebody will take it. Somebody pretty good will take the job. Guarantee you that. But it's not a slam dunk, especially with the other jobs that are open. Like if you're Mark Stoops, and here's the thing. You and I have said many, many times, Mark Stoops, stay at Kentucky. Talk to whoever is going to talk to you to take the raise to stay at Kentucky. But I don't know that he wants to do that. Maybe he wants to go to a place where winning a national title is really possible. So could that could be LSU, that could be Florida. Which one would you pick if you're Mark Stoops?
LSU.
I think that's pretty logical. That's a pretty logical choice. So you know, that's the issue that they're going to run into. But here's the other issue.
But it's still a top five job, no matter what happens, no matter who's open. Like,
is it?
I don't know if a top five job in America, but there's no way it won't be a top three job opening.
Correct. That's correct. Very short of like Nick Saban retiring or Kirby Smart.
It's like what?
Deciding Penn State, he wants to go to the NFL or something. Yeah.
Penn State is open potentially. I'm just trying if to think leaves, about yeah. games that would or places well, that could
he
potentially
might take
deal.
Florida. But yeah, the yeah, question yeah. is, how would the Florida people feel about James Franklin right now?
Probably would be excited about it because he would have a recruiting oriented press conference.
He absolutely would. And that's the thing. Whoever Florida hires, if you're going to make a mistake, and I realize it's sort of falling into the trap of hire the opposite of what you hired last time. I don't even think that's not the issue. The issue is understand what the expectations are at your place, if you're the AD, and understand the type of people who meet those expectations. And if you're at Florida, you have to recruit better and well enough to compete for national titles. And you have to have your head coach be your most aggressive recruiter because that is how that works in the SEC. Kirby Smart is Georgia's best recruiter. Nick Saban is Alabama's best recruiter. When Ed Orgeron was at LSU, I know he's a lame duck at this point, but he was LSU's best recruiter and they won a national title. So that's what that has to be. And I would, if I were advising Scott Strickland right now, I would advise him to go find that leaked audio of Kirby Smart talking to Georgia's team at halftime of the world's largest outdoor cocktail party this year. Did you hear that audio?
Yeah, I did. Sorry.
Yeah. Where he said, I want to physically break them. Like there were a lot of F words in there too, but that's what you're up against. That's what you're up against every day. That is who you have to beat
every day. I realize people understand it isn't just once a year in Jacksonville. It's every single
day.
Yep.
And that man wakes up thinking, how do I kick the Gators' ass today?
And he's kicking the Gators' ass worse on every other day than that one day a year.
Right. So they've got to hire someone. And I realize I'm oversimplifying by making it all about Georgia, but that's really what it is. It's sort of how everybody in the West makes it all about Alabama. And everybody in the Big Ten East makes it about Ohio State. Whoever Florida hires, every waking thought has to be, how do I find a way to kick Georgia's ass today? Every single waking thought has to be that.
And it's
that means you're not going to hire someone who's warm and fuzzy. You're probably not going to hire someone who's normal. Like, it's hard to be normal and work like that.
Yeah. Well, also, on top of what you just said, you need to find somebody who understands that you can't beat Georgia and Jacksonville if you don't beat them every other time. Or yes, at least be competitive with them 50-50 all other months of the year. They got to beat Georgia in June. They got to beat Georgia in July. They've got to beat Georgia in April. And if they're not going to beat Georgia 100% of the time, because nobody's beating Georgia 100% of the time. Georgia's recruiting juggernaut.
But you also
have
to beat Alabama, and you have to beat Oregon, and you have to beat whoever USC hires and whoever LSU hires. You have to beat all of those guys every once in a while. Like, the last time Florida won national titles, who were the best players? Brandon Spikes, Tim Tebow, Percy Harvin, all players that everyone wanted who chose Florida.
Were they good high school players, those guys?
They were kind of good. Yeah. Kind of good. As Larry Davis say, pretty
good.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds simplistic, and
it's funny that you have to explain to Florida fans, or some Florida fans,
I don't
what
think
we're
I have
talking
to explain
about.
It to the fans. I'm not sure. It's the administration, I think, that needs to understand.
I don't think that anybody affiliated with Florida, the team that signed two of the greatest recruiting classes ever assembled in the history of the thing in 2006 and 7 and 8, those classes were absurd. What do the people think happened? Like, what does the administration think happened? What does anybody affiliated with the program tangentially in any single way think about the history of that program? How did that happen? Because Urban Meyer is some sort of X's and O's genius? I think you could say the case that he's not at all.
But that's the thing. That's their challenge, is finding someone who can do that when there's not an obvious person out there, when you may have to project. You may have to project somebody how someone will come from a different level to do that. Or you may have to project how someone who's a coordinator who's currently recruiting like that will act as a head coach.
Do you think that James Franklin is like the best candidate for them?
Is he?
I don't know. I have such mixed feelings.
I didn't say he was.
No, I was asking you if you did.
No, I think Lane Kiffin's the best candidate for them, but I don't think they're going to hire Lane Kiffin. And I don't know that Lane Kiffin would take the job.
I would love that.
I think everybody would. Oh, well, Lane Kiffin wears a visor and says snarky things, and you know
how
people in Florida
feel
about people who do that.
Just in the fairness of what we're talking about here, has Lane Kiffin signed a top 10 class in his career?
He might have at USC.
Yeah.
He actually signed a fairly highly rated class at Tennessee the 1 year he was there. But if you study that class, it did not work out. There was a lot of, it took a lot of risks and they didn't pay off. Now,
because I think
there was
an assumption that
Lane Kiffin took part in.
There's an assumption, I think, and probably a pretty reasonable one, that Lane Kiffin would go to a certain place like Florida or USC that has the resources and geography available to it and just absolutely recruit gangbusters. He's an interesting personality who makes headlines and likes to have fun and throws his visor up in the air and tweets funny things. And everybody knows the shtick with Lane Kiffin. Are we 100% sure that he has proven himself as a recruiter to the likes of which we would expect him to have the chops to recruit at the level Florida would need? Is that a fair question?
So the 2000, you want to hear the 2010 recruiting class?
Yeah.
It was ranked number 3 in the country.
Was that at SC?
It was at SC. It had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 5-stars. And had some talent that went down the line.
So I was wrong then.
That contributed, yeah. So, yeah, Lane could recruit at USC. He was number 3 in 2011.
Okay, so when given the opportunity to recruit at a high level in a place that actually can do it, he's done it.
Yeah. So it's doable.
Because he's not lighting recruiting world on fire in Ole Miss. That's at Ole Miss, which is why I asked it.
Right. Now, they get some, but they don't get that type of class. And Hugh Freeze got that type of class at Ole Miss, and suddenly they got investigated. So that's the thing you got to wonder about with that. Ari, can I give you my plan if Florida decides to make a change now?
Yes.
Rather than waiting till after the Florida State game?
I'd love that.
I don't know if they'd ever do this, but this is what I think they should do if they want to at least score a couple points with the fan base. And this could be an absolute disaster too. It could completely blow up in their face. But I mean, you just lost to Missouri. You gave it 52 against Stanford. What's the difference? It's blown up in your face already. So if they decided to make a change, because some of you are going to be listening this Sunday, and if something happens, something may have already happened by the time you're listening to this. If they're going to go a week with an interim, there is a guy in the offices there who's won a couple games as Florida's head coach. Make Steve Spurrier the interim for the Florida State game.
That'd be awesome.
Let him coach the Florida State game. Now, Billy Gonzalez can be the play caller. He's been in this offense forever. Let Steve Spurrier handle the press conference and all the hype stuff. Let him be the hype man. Let him suggest things. He still knows a few ball plays. And let him coach against Florida State. Give him a chance to win his last game in the Swamp as Florida's coach. Because remember, he lost his last game in the Swamp as the Florida coach. He lost to Tennessee in 2001 in that 34-32 game where Travis Stevens went off and Florida
had a
two-point conversion.
Did he win his last game in the Swamp as South Carolina's coach?
Not only did he win it, he got Will Muschamp fired in it.
Well, that's a pretty good legacy.
Yes. So that's the that
let's spur your recruit for a few weeks.
That's my one idea, because honestly, I can't give them a ton of ideas for a new head coach, because I don't really know of the people we're all talking about, because USC and LSU are also open, who realistically would take the job.
I don't know.
But
it's
here's
their
the
job. There's a lot of money in there to find that out, though.
Oh, yeah. But if you're interviewing people, if you're Scott Strickland, you're interviewing people, and you have even the slightest inkling that this person doesn't like to recruit, walk out of the room.
It makes you unqualified for the job.
Correct. Correct. If they don't come in there telling you exactly how they're going to lock down the best recruits in the country,
I want to hear the whole strategy. How are you going to recruit? What areas? Yeah. How are you going to emphasize? What positions are most important?
What assistants are you going to hire?
Yeah.
Who's going to recruit where? I want all of it.
How many hours a week do you think is reasonable to be expected to communicate with teenagers? I want to know everything.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. All right. All right. We got to move on from Florida, because there's another school where they just made a coaching change. I don't think they're going to make another one. But the situation probably feels even more hopeless than Florida. The Texas Longhorns went to Morgantown and lost, as Vegas predicted they would. What do you do? They're not even going to make a bowl game.
I sent you a text like at 2:00 in the afternoon saying, I'm not trying to be a snarky psychopath here, but how far away are we from Sark hot seat discussions? Maybe the answer is 2 years, but is it going into next year?
I think they're going to have to hit the portal very hard. This is going to be a rip it down to the studs kind of portal situation. And the fact that you have that +7 that you can add this year in your recruiting class, I do think that they're going to have to use that in the portal and reshape the roster now. They're going to need a Michigan State-like performance in the portal.
I don't think that's an easy thing to do. I think that's a really difficult thing.
Everybody
to do.
Thinks it's easy. It's definitely not. Florida State did it. They lost to Jacksonville State.
It's definitely not a position
you want
to be in. You do not want to be in a situation where you feel like you have to rely on the portal to fill out your roster.
I don't think there's anything else they can do, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Need something to change. They're not going to change coaches. Something has to change, or they're just going to keep doing the same thing.
I mean, Sark's the first guy that will say, all gas, no brakes, it's built here, let's ride.
Well, it's not built there. And if you don't tap the brakes every once in a while, you run out of gas, and that's exactly what Texas did.
Well, Texas may or may not have been built. they had enough talent on their roster to not lose five games in a row, two of which were to Kansas and West Virginia in back-to-back weeks. I mean, there's just something that's a little bit, like with Tom Herman, there were some head scratching things where you're just like, what's going on here? What are these these weird losses? But by and large, they avoided really hitting rock bottom.
Here, they had the lead in the fourth quarter of the game that would have put them in the Big 12 championship last season. Now they gave up that lead and Iowa State won, but that's where they were last season.
Last year,
not even going to go to a bowl game this season.
Last year felt dysfunctional. This year feels broken.
Yes, yes. And now if you're Sark, you can just you spin it and say, well, that's what I inherited. But the fact of the matter is, Tom Herman coached these guys a lot better than Steve Sarkisian has.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, and that's why I asked the question: how much longer does Texas give them? We're in the 2021 where coaches get hired and fired much quicker than this. I came into the season, Andy, thinking we got to give Coach Sarkisian the benefit of the doubt. He's coming from Alabama. He's an X's and O's genius. He knows how to run a program now better than he ever did before in some of the places that didn't go so well because he got to see what the secret sauce is in Tuscaloosa. And then he comes to Texas. He takes a sputtering car that I thought he was going to fix up to make, you know, at least win the games they should, and crashes it into the wall.
It is amazing. I mean, think back to when they hung 70 on Texas Tech. We were on board.
Could you imagine if I didn't denounce them
at that point?
How miserable my life would be if I didn't let go?
I do. But you had to let go. You had no other choice.
What game was it that made me let go? Was it Oklahoma? It was Oklahoma. So I've let
Which
go.
Which is amazing to me that it actually, that was Texas, when you let go.
Texas has not won a game since I let go.
It's your fault. You're the one who you gave up. It's sort of like, what is it? What's the move? If you stop believing in whatever, then they die. That's what you're doing.
Is that movie It?
I don't think that's it. I don't think.
Oh, I think It is if you don't.
That's the one where the clown crawls out of the sewer.
I know, but like, I feel like the whole thing is that if you don't believe in the clown, then the clown dies or something.
Maybe.
Not a big sci-fi guy.
I was thinking more there was a fairy tale kind
of
thing.
Oh, yeah, that one's just... Fun. Well, I feel like this is probably more of a horror story anyway.
I think you're probably right. When we come back, we will turn it forward and look ahead to the best week of the year, Rivalry Week. And we will pay homage to the best game of the year, the Egg Bowl. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Got your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Rivalry Week is coming up. We already talked about Ohio State and Michigan. We'll talk more about it during the week. That's a huge game, playoff implications. Many, many people will talk themselves into Michigan being able to win this game, and many crossing routes will be run, and we'll see if Michigan can actually cover them. Because I need to see it to believe it. Let's talk about some of the other games. And one game we didn't mention from Saturday that I do think we need to point out, Clemson-Wake Forest. Clemson put the hammer down on Wake Forest. And it feels like Clemson has gotten some guys healthy. But also just feels like Clemson has realized, hey, we have better players than most of these teams. We should be beating them.
Yeah, that was my play of the week on Best on the Board podcast on the Athletic Network. I just saw that one coming from a mile away. On the road, Clemson is the most talented defense that they would have faced this year, even without one of the best defensive ends in college football. It seems like their offense really seemed to, I mean, I don't know if turning the corner is the right word because they crashed into the corner, but they got Will Shipley back, who's been playing better, healthy. You know, it's just Wake Forest was a really nice story, but, you know, sometimes you run into a talent wall, and I know that Clemson is a disaster in comparison to what they were supposed to be, but they're still, an 8-3 team now? It didn't go off the rails.
They are still mathematically alive for the ACC championship game, so we'll talk about a couple rivalry week games, one actual rivalry game and one that's not, that will determine who plays for the ACC title. Clemson needs Boston College to beat Wake Forest. And I think what's going to happen is Wake Forest is going to beat Boston College, and they're going to, Wake Forest will go to the ACC championship game. I'm pretty sure that's how that's going to go down, because I watched Boston College, and I thought with Phil Jurkovec coming back that was, they might be a little bit different, but you know, Florida State played really well against them on Saturday. Wake's better than Florida State. BC's going to have to play a really good game to be able to beat Wake. So I think Wake wins. But let's say BC beats Wake, there's a game on Friday that also affects what happens with Clemson. North Carolina State needs to lose to North Carolina. And that NC State-North Carolina game, yeah, that was a butt-whooping that Mac Brown laid on Dave Doran's team last year. This is going to be one that I think North Carolina, this kind of feels a little bit like a lost season for them. Beating the heck out of NC State would probably make it feel a little better. So they've certainly got motivation in that game, and NC State also has motivation to keep itself alive to potentially play for the ACC title, because I believe if NC State wins and then Wake Forest loses, NC State goes.
Yeah, somebody asked us a question in the Q&A that I thought was funny. What is Dabo Swinney's message to the playoff committee going to be when they win the ACC this year?
He can deliver any message he wants. It's not going to matter.
I just want to hear what people, like the funny things that people can come up with.
I mean, if I were him, I'd go with, well, we're the team nobody wants to play right now. We're rounding into form. But here's the thing. Okay, let's talk about this. 12-team playoff, 5 Power 5 champs get in, or the 6 highest-ranked conference champs get in. I think there's a real good chance an ACC champion Clemson would be up at, like, I don't know, probably 11 or 12, and would be in the playoff.
Yeah, that would be an interesting thing. Like, I don't know where they're going to end up, but they're going to crack the top 20 this week probably, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like if you start thinking about it in the context of where would they be if the playoff was already expanded, I don't know that they would be in the playoff, but they would be in the discussion. Maybe they would need some fireworks in their own conference, but
that's the team, like a 3-loss ACC champ Clemson that would wind up as like a 10 seed or an 11 seed in the playoff would do some damage potentially.
I think that you would view that as a plus or a selling point for the playoff. And yes, I would view it as just like, that's exactly the type of dreck that you don't want in the playoff. Because because
they're talented enough. Remember,
when they're fully healthy, maybe.
Yeah, played a 1-touchdown game against Georgia. So they're talented enough, and you're going to have situations like that when the playoff expands, where a team that was supposed to be good loses a couple games and then gets hot at the end. And yeah, they could do some damage. They could go on the road and beat somebody in the playoff, and then you have a really interesting quarterfinal game that next week.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's funny because Clemson kicked a bunch of field goals against UConn 2 weeks ago. I don't know that I would necessarily call them hot. And I also think, too, that you have a scenario where you just have certain teams that just aren't – it just – Clemson's not it this year. And I know we were kind of joking about what Dabo Swinney's pitch would be. There is no pitch. They don't have it this year.
No, they okay have no chance in the yeah. 4-team. I'm just saying –
But in the 12-team, why would
like
a team
to see
that we
– a talented team – make the playoff at the bottom of the bracket
on an off year
and get hot
during an off year, thus rendering no off seasons for Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, or Clemson ever again.
Correct.
They're the biggest beneficiaries of the expanded playoff. You know, you might think it's the group of five teams or the teams that are trying, but the biggest beneficiaries of the playoff are the teams that no longer could ever miss it.
Because when you have that level of talent, you always have a chance.
Yep. There's no such thing as missing the playoff anymore. So let's get to the Egg Bowl. I'm excited about that.
Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait. And, you know, I'm glad that Vandy was the team Ole Miss drew this week, because I would have felt bad if Ole Miss had to play, you know, a little bit tougher SEC opponent while Mississippi State was playing an FCS team. And then they have to turn around 5 days later and play. Like, this feels like, okay, everybody's on equal footing here.
If I would have told you that a Mississippi team would finish second in the SEC West before the year started, would you have laughed at me?
No, because I thought both those teams, like, Ole Miss had the best quarterback, and Mississippi State had a good defense and had gotten better.
Mississippi State thing coming into the season was, we're talking about LSU and Texas A&M. You were high on LSU coming into the year.
I was high on LSU, but
Auburn,
you could have easily talked me into Matt Corral leading Ole Miss to being the second best team in the West.
Yeah. That is the best toughest division without question in college football, and there's going to be a Mississippi team in second place in that.
Yes.
That's cool.
I agree. Now that
I think that matters too. Like, people might say, well, they're not going to go to the SEC championship game. There's no stake. I think that being second place in that conference is an accomplishment that you should be proud as hell of.
Well, for Ole Miss, it's a New Year's Six Bowl on the line.
Yeah.
Like, they win this game, they're probably going to Sugar Bowl. Like, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I'm with you. This game is going to go completely off the rails, though. I'm telling you, it's going to be.
By the way, this also, in a 12-team playoff, this scenario, Ole Miss is playing for a playoff spot.
Which would be cool. I'll give you that. Like, I like, sometimes I come across as hot and cold on the expanded playoff. There's certain things about it that I like, and there's certain things about it I don't like. One of the things I like about it is games like this that are inherently awesome are now going to have added meaning to them.
Well, and think about this. So remember, this is the nastiest rivalry in sports. It really is. It's certainly the nastiest in college football. Everybody's like, oh, Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama. No, those are the best rivalries. This is the nastiest. These people hate each other the most. And so imagine the scenario. Ole Miss is playing for a playoff berth. Now, this scenario works fine too. Ole Miss is playing probably for a spot in the Sugar Bowl. It's in Starkville. The sheer act of denying Ole Miss this is enough motivation for Mississippi State. Like, they will hold it over them forever if they deny this to them, or if they deny a playoff berth to them down the road.
I don't want to know what the total of this game is going to be. I have to know. Like, what is it going to be in the, like, I know that Mississippi State's actually got a pretty good defense, and Ole Miss's defense is played.
I don't think this is going to be, a huge number. I don't think it should be a shootout.
Somewhere in the low 50s, maybe?
That sounds about right.
It's going to be crazy. I just want to know why it's going to be crazy. It's not, is there going to be a dog peeing again? Like, what are we in for?
Are we in for something nuts? I think we are. I really do. It's Thanksgiving night. I know there's an NFL game now on at the same time. That's
plus these teams also have to take their coaches' personality a little bit, right? I mean, you've got two of the most eccentric coaching personalities in the entire sport in the same state playing in the most nasty rivalry. I mean, that's pretty cool.
And the weirdest part about it is those two guys really like each other.
I know. Well, how could you not? They probably understand each other.
It's fascinating to me. It's fascinating. Now, when they were, if Lane does wind up staying at Ole Miss for a while, I think they'll recruit against each other enough that they probably won't like each other anymore. But they do like each other now. So I just can't wait. I cannot wait that game.
It's a gift that it's on so Thanksgiving, much fun too. Like, that is, like, very special that it's on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. No, I'm very excited. This week always just gives me all the special feelings, because you've got a holiday that's based entirely around food. You've got
food and football.
Football games on Thanksgiving Day. You've got football all day on Black Friday. You know, I love the Nebraska Iowa game. That's one of my, when they were going to move that off Black Friday, I was like, what are you doing? You can't do that.
It's sad, because once Thanksgiving comes, I start to get a little anxious about football ending, but it also coincides with the best time of the year. So you know, trying to go out with a bang, and I'm super excited. What are we, like 14 days away from the playoff announcement?
It is not long now. Yes, 14 days away. Now, there's a hell of a coaching carousel that's going to go on between now and then, probably. So,
and recruiting ramping up, too. There's going to be plenty to talk about here moving forward.
We may be dropping emergency podcasts every day from now until probably the Wednesday after Thanksgiving. So just be prepared. We're going to give you a lot to listen to. There's certainly going to be a lot to talk about. It has been a joy talking about football today. And this week is going to be spectacular. We'll talk to you soon.